ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains podcast. My name is Daniel White III. This podcast is a part of the other chaplains training class that we do. I am the president of Gospel Light Society University. We are going through the book Out of the Depths, an autobiographical study of mental disorder and religious experience by one of the pioneers of chaplaincy, Dr. Anton T. Boysen. This is episode number 69. This book is required reading on a graduate level to become a chaplain with most chaplaincy agencies and companies and even universities. And it is a very unique book. And you probably have never heard of it if you have not been interested in the profession, the calling, the ministry of chaplaincy. Our scripture passage for today is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, which reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things, that ye would." Our ordained chaplain's quote for today is from Marcus Aurelius. He said, "Death is a release from the impressions of the senses and from desires that make us their puppets, and from the vagaries of the mind, and from the hard service of the flesh." Beloved, in this podcast, we will continue discussing and reading the book titled Out of the Depths by Dr. Anton T. Boysen. We continue today with chapter 4, A Little Known Country, Part 18. He goes on to say, "I remember distinctly the beginning of that idea. It came first during that abnormal period in Washington, a flashing, blinding, overwhelming idea that I was not, after all, just what I had thought myself, but that I had lived on this earth many hundreds of years under different forms, but always with the same problem which I had not been able to solve. It seemed that I was identified with the woman from whom the seven devils had been cast out, also with the poet Dante. Confirmation of this I found in the fact that my first illumination had come on Easter morning, that the problem was indeed the same, and that the idea was one I had never dreamed of before. It seemed also that in that struggle lay the center of the fight which had been going on for 1900 years. The Christ personality had been imprisoned and crippled by the selfish demands of a love which had been essential to some weaker person's salvation. He had been imprisoned because he could not destroy the weaker personality in his own interest, also because this problem, that of sex, represented the first and most difficult problem in the making of a better race. It seemed that as a representative of that weaker type, it was my duty to give up what I felt to be my claim. After I had acted on that, it seemed that the fight had been won, and I became ecstatically happy. Then I was seized with a terrible panic, from which I emerged only gradually. One of the things which has most puzzled and horrified me in this recent delirium is the ideas which I have had regarding my own identity, starting with the idea that I was the representative of the Magdalene Dante type. I surrendered my claim and became a zero quantity. Then I became confused. I was a zero quantity, but I was also its opposite. Another idea which persisted through the disturbed period was that I was a representative of the sex instinct. It was in this role, I think, that I attempted repeatedly to eliminate myself. Once I tried to drown myself in the tub and nearly succeeded. Twice I rammed my head against the corner of the brick wall. As I look back over this, viewing it more in perspective, I still wonder if there may not be some glimmering of truth in these strange ideas. We know so little about the unseen forces. Is it not possible that our minds are the scene of a struggle in which universal issues are at stake? One such idea was that of life as consisting of two cycles, one in the flesh, and one in the spirit. It seemed that the departed spirit had its abode in the subconscious of those whom it loved, and that its chances of returning to the world and perpetuating the cycle depended upon the fidelity of the man or woman in whom that spirit abode. According to this, it should be possible, if we learned the laws, to select the types which are brought into the world, and thus secure an unbroken succession of alternating personalities. That would be eternal life. I am giving this just the way the idea came. The universe I thought of as a great living organism, or a series of organisms. It seemed that out of the present world, a new social order was to be formed. This would be a new spiritual body, gathering to itself the spirits of those who were fit. In such a body, the family of four would constitute a new type of cell, replacing the simpler cell on which the present order is founded. It seemed that the present order is based upon competition, and competition eliminates the best as well as the worst. The new order would be based upon cooperation and would seek to preserve whatever was worth preserving, guarding carefully the finest and the best. According to this idea, the virgin birth of Christ would represent an actual new element entering into the race, and it was made possible by some man giving his place to another. But the second coming had not taken place because of the frailty of some of the disciples. It seems that the personality which I represented had been chiefly responsible for blocking the way. Salvation was thus by no means assured. It depended upon the outcome of a titanic struggle, which was still undecided. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Lord tarries his coming for real, and we live for real, we will continue with part 19 of chapter 4, A Little Known Country. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you that chaplaincy was born with the aid of this man. But most of us listening to this podcast have never gone on this journey of mental illness and came out of it like this man. So Lord, help us to bear with him as we get through this, because we are, by reading his work, we are going on the journey, sadly, of thousands of people who have what is called today mental illness and what was called yesterday demonic possession. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll help us to learn what you want us to learn and help us to experience what you want us to experience so that we can be the best we can be in taking care of the feeble-minded and others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life, and that I have broken your commandments, and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.